Okay, we're up to Torah Kuf Mem Dalet, Likud Moran Chelek Aleph. Lashon Rabbein Ezal. This is Rabbein Ezal's wording exactly. Rabbein Ezal bases this Torah on a statement that's made in the Medrash Rabbah on Kehelis, where it says, "Ein adam meis v'chatzi tavos biyadai," that you can't even find a person who passes away having satisfied half of his taiva, because as the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, "Yesh leimona roitzem asayim." The minute a person gets 100, he wants 200. People whose nature it is to go after taivas, usually they don't even catch up with half of what their taiva is. So this is the wording, "Ein adam meis v'chatzi tavos biyadai." Rabbein Ezal is going to have a drush on this item. Rabbein Ezal says, "Ki etzel hatzadik ein chiluk bein hachayim uvein lachar misa." By a tzadik, there isn't much of a difference between when he's alive to after he passes away. "Ki gam lachar misa hu oved es Hashem yisborach." Because also after he passes away, what does he do? He serves Hashem. "Ve'ein zeh hachiluk ela etzel zeh hodam shenimshach achar taivas hachilu shviya kol yamav." The only time where you note a major distinction between life and death is by a person who went his whole life, he chased after achila and shtia, eating, drinking the taivos of this world, and after passing away, there's no eating and drinking. Ze nikra meis. About a person like that, we could attribute the term meis. And by him, death is recognizable. It makes a major difference in his lifestyle. Rabbein Ezal says, "V'yesh yomim shehutra achilo shtia." We know that there are days in which simple, base, achila and shtia are mutter, completely mutter. As the Gemara says, as the Mishnah says in Pesachim, "Chetzi el Hashem v'chetzi elachem," that when it comes to Yantif, Hashem says that Yantif should be spent in a manner where half is to Hashem and half belongs to you. Belongs to you means physically you're given permission to use it in a physical manner for gashmias, for achila, for shtia, for going for a walk. That type of item is completely mutter, permissible. Rabbein Ezal says, "V'hatzadik and a tzadik afilu b'zois hachetzi hu kovesh es yitzroi." Even in that half, which is permissible, he conquers his yetzahara, v'oiches es tavosei biyadoi, and he holds his desire in his hand, meaning he takes control, he doesn't let go completely. Within that half that's mutter even, he exercises constraint. Okay, Rabbein Ezal says, "A tzadik, even in that half that's completely mutter, this is what it means over there when it uses the term v'chatzi tavosei biyadoi. Half of his taiva is in his hand, meaning he has control over it. He has a hold on it. That's the word that's used. Afilu zayis hachatzi shehuter loy. Even the half which was made permissible to him, afilu bozehu eches tavosei biyadoi. Even in that, he exercises restraint, and he holds back. Rabbein Ezal says, "Bevadai ze ein meis ela tomid chai afilu lachar misa." Certainly, about such a tzaddik, we would apply this term that he never dies; he lives on even after his passing. Ve'ein chilek etzlei bein misa lachayim, and there's no distinction by him between life and death. Ki tomid hu oved Hashem, because he's always serving Hashem. Meaning, Rabbein Ezal says here the example that he gives is yantif, for example, that's a time when the Torah tells us that half is mutter, and yet the person who exercises constraint there, that he still, in other words, his nature is such that even when you tell him go eat or go for a walk, that's hard for him to do. His nature, he's worked himself so much that the norm for him, what he likes more, is to sit and learn or to daven, in other words, to do mitzvahs, to serve Hashem. A person like that is in the bechina of v'chatzi tavosei biyadai. Even v'chatzi taiva, which the Torah is matir already completely, he still holds it in his hand, he restrains himself tremendously. That's the person that Adam says, "Ein adam meis." That this person we never could apply, he's a tzaddik who has achieved the madrega of chai for all forever, because by him there's no real distinction between life and death. And this is also brought another example that Rav Nosson Zal brings, a Sifrei Musa bring, for example, the issue of taivas noshim. Before a person's married, there are tremendous restraints upon him, no touching a woman ever at any time, looking, all of these items. A person gets married, there are certain things that become completely permissible to him. For example, there are certain times when he's permitted to be with his wife, there are certain times when he's permitted to touch, and generally, normally, at all times, he's permitted to look at his wife. I once, by the way, I had an incident once in taking the notes on Ishiram that Rebbe Zal gave, I had gotten the impression that he had said that a wife at the time that she's a nida, a person should not look at her. Not in other words, not to be mistakel. In other words, not to stare, not to study closely. And he saw it, and he said, he never said it, you know, and he said, cross it out. In other words, he wanted to make sure, in other words, that you don't get any mistake, any chumri yaseira that's not there. So I'm saying, we see that at that point on, it seems that there's a heter, a switch is flicked on for this person becomes mutter. And yet, there are two attitudes to take. A person can take an attitude of breaking loose completely with no restraint whatsoever, or a tzaddik is one who restrains himself even in that which is mutter. He exercises as much control as possible, not to act like a behemoth, to see to it that the thoughts should be b'kedusha, everything should be done b'kedusha. That's also this concept of chatzi tavos be'adin. In other words, that's in Sforim, that's where you find this terminology used, that in that which is mutter to you, you exercise constraint on that also, that's considered tzaddik. That's this concept of tzaddik, about whom the person, it says, ein adam eis v'chatzi tavos be'adin. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Right.
Is there an afternoon between Shabbos and Yom Tov?
Yes, Shabbos is, the way the Gemara refers it is that Shabbos is an union of Kula Lashem, whereas Yom Tov there is an union of Chetzi Lashem and Chetzi Lachem.
So Shabbos would be more like, the Yechila would be different, the Yechila would be Lashem also on Shabbos, exactly. And Yom Tov you're allowed to...
Exactly, and even Bechlal, as far as taking time out like to go for a walk or that type of item, on Yom Tov is much more permissible than on Shabbos. Okay, next, Torah Kuf Mem Dalet. Rabbein Ezal has another... Torah Kuf Mem Hei, right. Rabbein Ezal has another pshat on this statement. Ein Adam Eis V'Chatzi Tavosei. Rabbein Ezal says the word v'chatzi, chetzi means half. Chetzi also means, an of machlekes, division. Lachatzis means to divide. Rabbein Ezal says, bechinas machlekes. This term v'chatzi is a concept of machlekes. Kitargumai, as the Targum says on the pasuk, v'roibu v'yistemuhu alei chitzin. Just a second. This is talking about Yosef HaTzadik, that his brothers were very bitter towards him, and they hated him, and it calls them Balei Chitzin, the masters of Machlekes. The wording Targum says on it, Balei Palgoisa. Just a second. Right, Kidar Gumayu, Varoibu Balei Chitzin, Balei Palgoisa. That it means that Chetz means, and Rashi HaKadosh says over there, why? Because their words were like arrows. When a person's in a state of machlekes, the word, the dibur is very tense, very tight. It comes out like arrows.
But what's the literal translation of that?
Huh?
The literal master of arrows?
That's yeah. No. The Bali machlekes, period. But Rashi HaKadosh says we know that chetz means an arrow. Why? Because when people are in machlekes, the words come out like arrows. That's what Rashi HaKadosh says. The word chatzi means half, divided. Divided is machlekes. Okay, umi she'eches tavosei mi machlekes, a person who restrains his desire for machlekes, bevadai ki'ilu loy meis, that person certainly achieves this madrega as though he never dies. Why? Kemoi she'bikesh David, as we find David HaMelech asked Hashem in Tehillim, ogura ba'aholcha oilamim. David HaMelech said to Hashem, Hashem, please let me be zeche to live in your tent in both worlds at the same time. So the Yerushalmi says, what does this mean? V'chiev shalodor b'shnei olamos? Can a person live in both worlds at the same time? So the Gemara answers, Elo shiyu oimrim dvar halacha mishmai. That David HaMelech was saying that even after he passes away, he should be zeiche, that people should say over divrei halacha in his name. V'oz kilu laimeis. And then it'll be considered as though he didn't die. Avol al yidei machlekes, but through machlekes, motzinu shelei omru halacha mishmam. We find the exact opposite, that those who were involved in machlekes, the penalty that was given to them was that whenever a halacha was mentioned that they said, their name could not be quoted. Kemo yacherim v'yeshemrim, as the two cases that are brought at the end of Masech Tahiris, where it brings the story of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, who had a machlekes against Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi at the time, and they felt that he was too bossy, they felt he was taking too much kavod, so they decided, we'll fix him. They waited one day. They came in very well prepared on a mission in Uktsin that was very hard, and they started firing questions at him in public in front of everybody on this mission, which he hadn't prepared at the time, with the purpose of embarrassing him publicly, so that this way people would get cooled off to his greatness, to Rav Gamliel, and maybe they would dethrone him as Nosi. So the Gemara says they were punished at the time. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson were punished. That Rabbi Meir was punished that from that time on, any halacha that was quoted in his name, they never said Rabbi Meir, they said Acherim. He was called Acherim. And Rabbi Nosson was quoted as Yesh Oimrim. They never quoted him. Any halacha that was said in his name was said as Yesh Oimrim. Whenever you find the Gemara Yesh Oimrim, it refers to Rabbi Nosson. So we see that what item is there that distinguishes whether halacha is said in a person's name or not? It's this item of Machlekes. If a person is zeichet to hold back, he has a chance to get involved in a machlekes, and he doesn't, that's the item that gives a person the zechia of being, having halachas quoted, of being considered alive at all times, because he'll have halachas said over in his name. In other words, David HaMelech said, agura b'hol chaylamin, meaning he wanted to be alive. He wanted that by him there shouldn't be any distinction between life and death. How? Through people saying over Dvar Halacha Mishmoi. What item is necessary? Avoid Machlekes. Rabbi Nezal says, this is what's merumas in this pasuk. Ein odo meis. When is a person not considered meis? V'chatzi ta'avosoi. When his taiva for chatzi, for shooting arrows, or for division, Machlekes, biyadoi. He has control over it. He doesn't let it run away with him. He avoids the desire for Machlekes. Note, Rabbi Nezal uses the term taiva here. There is a taiva, as we just had in Masech the Saita. The taiva that Kairach had, the taiva that all of these Dayeko Adaimi, there was an actual desire for them to go, a feeling of kina, kain against hevel. It was a taiva for Machlekes. That's what it was. Baruch Hashem. Next.
As well, that which was said also that the taiva b'kina b'kavod is the taiva for kina and kavod, which is
it's hakina, jealousy, and the desire for kavod. That's what
so
it is.
So it includes machlokes moving.
100%. Note, maitzin es sodom in ha'ilam. Here we're talking about retaining a person in the world. In other words, we're trying to show no difference between this world and the next world. Those things, it says the exact maitzin es sodom in ha'ilam, that while he's alive, he's considered dead. That's what it is.
Is this pertaining to someone who says over halachas and to show that his memory stays along?
100%.
So has it applied this to, this just applies to Gedolim and Tzaddikim.
Right.
That has applied to us.
A very simple advice of avoiding machlekes, period. In other words, if a person is zeicher to avoid machlekes, he knows that he'll be quoted after his passing. Whereas if not, in other words, Hashem works things out that he wouldn't be quoted. He is not considered living in both worlds. On the lowest level, even. Just a second.
Every person has to live in both worlds.
100%. In other words, these items, when you find any item that Rabbi Nezal says, it's understood a person has to try to strive for that. Even items that he says about tzaddikim, the pasuk says, "Va'ameich kulam tzaddikim." Each and every person, we know that we're not. We know that we're very far from that. But whatever madrigos Rabbi Nezal talks about, we have to try for it. When he says here, by a tzaddik, there's no difference because chatzi davos biyodoi, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to read this and say, all right, Baruch Hashem, at least I'm lucky I'm not a tzaddik. I don't have to have this chatzi davos biyodoi. Chas v'shalom, you look in Rabbi Nezal's form, this is what he says, this is what the tzaddikim are like, and if you want to become a kusher to a tzaddik, you have to try to act, to emulate him, to act like him as much as is proper. It's understood that he's on a different madriga than us. There are certain chumras that he would take on himself, that he would tell us that it's forbidden for us to do it, but you have to know when and what. Right, because he's serving Hashem. Technically, he's not doing a physical mitzvah tzitzis or tefillin, but he's still serving Hashem, meaning the main thing of the study of Torah and tefillah. Those things we know definitely do take place in Olam Haba. For example, the Gemara says that all the karbonos become bottle except Torah, Shebach v'Hoidah, that exists in Olam Haba, and also the concept of the study of Torah.
But, like certain tzaddikim, they do feel like a certain sense, certain sins that they're not doing mitzvahs in the next one unless they come back. Like, you say Shem is a So in other words, it's on the surface it sounded like a spirit, but I guess... In other words, like when Rabbi Zal said that the Gaon was upset that in the next world he wouldn't be able to do the mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
So on the surface it seemed to be a spirit.
You're saying that seems to imply that over there they don't do any mitzvahs at all.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't.
Said that Shem was speaking, they come back.
100%. There are opportunities given to tzaddikim to be able to do mitzvahs even after their passing, definitely.
And what sense does the tzaddikim, let's say the tzaddikim learn Torah, they mishpal. But in other words, since they have b'chira, how is their ability different from, let's say, the walking?
I'm not in a position to say. Actually, as far as level is concerned, the Torah said that there's going to come a time when the Malachim are going to ask the Tzadikim, Ma Po'al Keh. The wording is, Asidim Tzadikim Sheyu Mechitzasim, more on the inside than Malachim Yashar. So they're going to achieve a higher level. Although there's no Bechir over there, it's actually because they went through this world where there was Bechir and tests and they passed the tests, they achieve a level over there that's greater than Malachim, definitely.
I'm going to say something that there still will be constant aliyahs there because of this embarrassment.
That's a whole separate topic. That's what I mentioned to you last week. I just mentioned that last week. Definitely. That there is a concept of aliyah in your reader over there, even.
Just on the basis of what I said, is this related to Prophet Yavis, where it says that Olam Haba is better than Olam Hazeh, but 1 hour of Torah mitzvah is
100%. That Mishnah, where it says, on one hand, 1 minute in Olam Haba is better than all the pleasures of this world, but on the other hand, 1 minute here is better than all the pleasures there because of what you can do here that you can't do there. Definitely. Okay, next. Rabbi Nizal bases this Torah on the Pasuk Eidus Hashem Ne'emono Machkim Aspesi. What is Eidus Hashem? What is the best witness to the greatness of Hashem? The Torah, Hashem's Torah. And this Rabbi Nizal brings many times that for a person who's really religious, if you start studying Torah and see the different levels, the Ayin Ponim La Torah, and this, that, and everything, that's your best witness to know that there's no way in the world that any human being could ever have constructed this. There must be a being, a super being, Kaviyachalei Hashem, who designed the Torah and once and who presented the Torah and whom we're obligated to worship and to serve. Now Rabbi Nizal is going on a different track. Ki hadovor koshe. Rabbi Nizal says there's a kasha here. Eich ha-toiro ha-nekras isha yecheila lahoid. We say that the Torah is called Eidus. Torah is an Indian, is feminine. The Torah many times is referred to as a lashon of feminine, nekeva. Komatz hei at the end is nekeva. We know that a woman can't testify. What do we say about the Torah? That the Torah is Eidus Hashem Ne'emona. Halo Isha P'sula L'Eidus. We know that a woman is P'sula L'Eidus usually, except there are exceptions. For example, anybody think of an example?
Yeah, she's
Huh?
Yeah, she's like if there's a piece of chalev and somebody ate something, it's not a chalev, it's not a shum, but she can't say she's going to eat it, but she can say that this was
That's one situation. Another situation, a much clearer one, is when it comes to the topic of Aguma Chas V'Shalom, there she is believed to say, we do accept a woman's testimony to say that she saw this man killed or not, in other words, to be able to free up his wife, to be able to get married. There it's a case where the Chachamim were matir, that was because this item could be so painful, Chas V'Shalom, this issue of Aguma. The Gemara says that the Chachamim gave a heta that over there we even accept the testimony of a woman. Excuse me?
That's a derisa now.
What's a derisa?
It's a derisa that a woman can't marry if there are two if her husband is not officially declared dead.
Right. But the Gemara shows how the Chachamim, based on certain items, were not accepting an Isha's testimony on this.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, obviously it's based on sukkah. Okay. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Nizal says, Halo Isha P'sula L'Eidus, we know that a woman is P'sula L'Eidus, V'Hateritz Hazeh, the answer to this is, Shehi Machkimas Pesi, that the Torah is Machkimas Pesi, meaning, Bishvil Zeh Yechayla L'Hoid, because the Torah has this attribute of Machkimas Pesi, that's what enables it to testify. K'moy Shemuva B'chay Shemish B'til Chasei V'Sim Elamid Hei, Sif Yudalid, the Shulchan Aruch says, Takonas Kadmoinim, that there was a Takona, made by the Kadmoinim, by the original of Rishonim, the Bamokoim Shein Anoshim Regilim Liyos, in a place where men usually aren't, Noshim Ne'emonois, woman's testimony is considered acceptable. In other words, certain places which a man wouldn't go into, let's say a perfumery, that type of place, a woman's testimony there is acceptable. Why? Because we have no choice. There's no metzias of getting a man there. Vezeyadua, and this is a known item, Sheikar Taivois Heim Beseser, that most desires, the concept of a desire is a concept of something that pertains to something that's hidden from the person. Bebechina, says the Pasuk says, Mayim Genuvim Yimtoku, stolen waters are sweet. Stolen meaning it's locked up, it's in a safe, it's hidden. You gotta go after that which is hidden, that which is being blocked by a curtain. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ve'ein bani odam regilim shom," and people usually do not frequent there. Avol ha'toyra hi oimedes shom, but the Torah does go there because the Torah is nekeva. In other words, certain places which are specifically for women, let's say, which men don't normally frequent, the Torah kaviyochel, because it has the status of a woman, the Torah does go into this mokom seser. The Torah asoy, and the Torah calls out to the person and says, "Mi pesi yosur heino," which person is a fool to turn to this? In other words, to allow himself to get caught in this. Umachmas chukas tavosoy, and because of the strength of his desire, einoi shamea kriyosa, the person doesn't hear the call of the Torah. In other words, because he gets involved in the taiva, his mind becomes too preoccupied, he doesn't hear this baskel saying, "Idiot, what are you doing here?" V'achar gemar tavosoy hu margish tekev kriyosa, and the nature is usually that right after the person completes his taiva, that's when he feels the charoto, "Why did I do this?" What's pshat, he feels it then? Because that's when he hears his neshama, hears the Torah calling out to him. Before, his desire was so intense that he got caught up, he couldn't hear the voice. As soon as desire is semi-satiated, he begins to hear that calling. U'mischaret tekev al ho'avera, and the person right away regrets the avera that he did. And this regret is a concept of machkim aspesi, where the Torah smartens the fool. At the time that a person commits an avera, at that time there's a ruach shtus present in him, as the Gemara says in the beginning of Saita. V'achar gemar ho'avera, and after the avera has been completed, hito oznoi la'amoreho shel Torah, the person turns his ears to the words of the Torah. Vehechkim, and he becomes smarter, umischaret, and he regrets. Bishvil ze, that's why haTorah afal pi shehi isha yechayla lahoid. The Torah, although it is a woman, it can testify, ki hi oimedes b'mokayim shein anashim regilim shem kanal, because the Torah stands in a place where people don't usually. Now, obviously, this is not being said in physical terms. This is in a concept of soid, in other words, to understand the kiddusha, the Torah. When we say that a person commits a sin, who's going to be the one to testify against him? Kaviyachal, we look at the Torah as a being who's going to come and say that you desecrated me. In other words, we look at the Torah is called Nukva. We say, for example, that Hashem married Bnei Yisrael. What was the Ksuba? The Ksuba was the Torah. In other words, the Torah symbolizes this bond with Bnei Yisrael. Kaviyachal, Bnei Yisrael are wedded to Hashem, meaning they are wedded to the Torah. The Torah is Hashem, kaviyachal, in a sense. However, the Torah, because it is a woman, it has the power, kaviyachal, in a sense, even to go into Mokom Seser. In other words, to see what a person is doing in the most hidden places and be able to testify against him there. Why? Because the Torah has no restrictions, no obstructions, preventing it from going. By nature, the Torah is committed to being able to go even to a Mokom Seser to be able to testify against the person. To show that
that's an exception, I can't testify.
In other words, no. The question is, we know that it's nukva. If that's the case, how can it testify? The pasuk says, "Eidus Hashem Neman." It's referring to the Torah. The answer is, the Shulchan Aruch points out that there's one case where a woman can testify. You know when? Seser, Mokom Seser, where men don't usually frame. And basically, the times when we would need the Torah to testify against the person is Seser, because most taivois are a concept of Mayim Genuv Mintaku. If it were an obvious item, it looks disgusting. If it's made slightly secluded, that's what makes it appetizing. You read the newspapers, you hear these articles that they say, these movies or shows where they show people totally undressed, that there isn't so much of a taiva for. Why? Because again, there isn't this concept of Seser. When it's sort of half mixed, it's made mysterious in this manner, this is when it's an item that draws a person. And that's what Rabbi Nizal is saying here, this concept of Mayim Genuv Mintako. Baruch Hashem. Next, Torah Kuf Mem Zayin. Rabbi Nizal says, Kishem Shemi Shehu Azisponam, ain lai chelik b'Torah, just as we know that one of the worst midas rois in existence is azas ponim, and a person who has azas ponim doesn't have any part in the Torah. Kama yishem razal, as the Gemara says in Chagiga, davar tziva le'elef doir, the Gemara says, there's a pasuk which says that Hashem commanded davar for 1,000 generations. What is this? The Gemara darshins, shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu litein ha-Torah le'elef doiris. Hashem originally wanted to give the Torah to the first 1,000 generations. With after creation, Roshein Hoyla Miskayim, he saw that the world could not withstand it. He saw that the world wasn't pure enough. There weren't enough Kalim created to be able to receive the Torah at that time. Venos Venitno Lechov, he wanted to give it after 1,000 generations. That's what it is. Hashem originally wanted to give, the pasuk says, Dolor Tzivil Alav Dor, he wanted to give it after a period of 1,000 generations. But he saw that the world couldn't wait that long. If the people would not receive the Torah earlier, there's no way in the world that the world could have existed. So Hashem gave it after 26 generations. And what did he do? What did he do? V'omad v'shoslan, he took the Rishoim in each Dor and he spread them out over the whole period of creation. He spread them out. V'hein hein azei ponim shebedor. And the Gemara says, these are the azei ponim in each Dor. Just a second, I'm going to check something. It says, Tanya, we learned in a braiso, Omer Rabbi Shimon HaChosid, Rabbi Shimon HaChosid said, Eilu cha meyois v'shivim v'arba doyois, that these are, they quote a pasuk, which says, Asher kaimtu v'loi eis, nohor yitzok yisaydom, those who came out before their time. What does this refer to? This refers to the 974 generations, which Hashem jumped to create they were created earlier than their time should have been. Period. Why? Because originally the Torah was supposed to be given after 1,000 generations. Actually, it was given after 26 generations. So there were 974 generations of people who were born in a sense early. They were born after the Torah was in the world, whereas they weren't supposed to be born after the Torah was in the world. So the Gemara says, just a second, huh?
They were born after the Torah was in the world. They were supposed to be born before. They were born late.
No, in other words, when they were born, they were supposed to be born before the Torah was in the world.
Supposed to be born after. It's supposed to be.
The Torah wasn't supposed to come till much later. The Torah came early. If the Torah came early. If the Torah came early. It means that they shouldn't have been there at the time. That's what it is. Very simple. In other words, they got something which they shouldn't have gotten. Those 974 generations, which shouldn't... We say that originally, there was supposed to be 1,000 generations of people before the Torah was given. How many were there? Actually, 26. So there were 26 generations who missed out on receiving the Torah as they were supposed to. 974 generations didn't. What did Hashem do with them? The Gemara says Hashem took those 974 generations of people and he spread them out over all the Doros to follow after Matan Torah. V'hein hein azei ponim shebedor. They are the azei ponim in each generation. They're the Rishonim in each generation. Why? Because again, their sheirish was supposed to be before Matan Torah, before receiving the Oyer of the Torah. That was, in a sense, they were bad. So the Gemara says Hashem spread them out over all the generations after Matan Torah. V'hein hein azei ponim shebedor. This is the wording in the Gemara. Now Rabbi Nezal explains, Nimtza, Sheho azei ponim einom bichlal kabbalas haTorah. That these people who are azei ponim, they are excluded from the concept of kabbalas haTorah. In other words, we say that they weren't worthy of receiving the Torah. The Torah was given early. Therefore, in other words, these people who represent the azei ponim in each Torah are people from before Matan Torah. You understand? So Kabbalas HaTorah means the opposite of azei ponim. So Rabbi Nezal said, "Kishem shemishu azei ponim ein loy chelik v'Torah. Why ki hey me ha tof tof kufayin dalad doiroy is shelo yirurim lekabbal haTorah? Because these people are from the 974 generations who are not worthy for Kabbalas HaTorah. V'chein omrazal." Rabbein Ezal says, the Gemara also says, Mishyesh by Azus, Biyadua, Shalayam, Du Ragla, Avoy, Saval, Har Sinai, that a person who has chutzpah, the Gemara says, we can tell for sure that his parents' feet were not at Har Sinai. So we see that the Torah is the opposite of Azus Ponim. Kabbalah Satayra is the opposite of Azus Ponim. Nimsa, Shah Azus Ponim, Ein Lei Chelek Batayra, that an Azus Ponim has no Chelek in the Torah. Kemoy Kain, so too. Mi shehu ish shofol v'nivze ve'ein boy azus dikdusha, a person who is low and shameful and he doesn't have certain guts, a certain daring sense, azus dikdusha, ein loy gam kein chelik b'tayra, a person like that also has no chelik in the Torah. K'mayshem razal, as the Gemara says in Be'ah, Mipnei ma nitna Torah liYisrael. Why was the Torah to given to Bnei Israel? Mipnei shehein azin. Because they had chutzpah, azus. The Gemara says, Hashem oiz lama yitain Hashem yivorach sama v'shalom. So we see that what the Torah is called oiz, and it was given to Bnei Israel because they are oiz. They are am k'shei oiref. Rabbein Ezal says, Ki tzorach sheyia boy azus dikdusha. A person must see to it that he should have azus dikdusha. Kamay Shem Razal, as the Gemara says, Hevi az kanomer, that a Jew is required to be fierce like a leopard. Is that the good word? Fierce. Val yedei azus dikdusha, and through this azus dikdusha, sheyesh boy, that the person has, hu mekabel azus dikdusha me'ashem yisporach. By a person generating azus dikdusha within himself, he's able to draw upon himself azus from Hashem. Hu b'chinas, as the pasuk says, tenu oiz lelekim, give forth oiz, strength to Hashem, al yis... Kel Yisrael, who nice saying oiz v'satzum Islam, the Hashem of the Jews gives strength to Bnei Yisrael. So Rabbein Ezal says, Tnu oiz l'leikim zebechinas isarusa delasato. This concept of giving strength to Hashem is a concept of isarusa delasato, meaning a person first has to take certain initiative on his own, whereby the first move that a person makes in coming close to Kedusha is a move where the person has to do something which is illogical. I know that I've been a Russia for so long, and in a way it's ridiculous for me to dare to come and approach Hashem and say, I want to start in Kiddusha. It's wrong. It's sick. The person has to take the initiative, although it looks wrong and it looks chutzpahdik. The person has to take that first step with chutzpah and say, regardless of how bad I've been, although I'm not deserving of coming before Hashem, I'm going to ignore that and I'm going to come anyway. And Rabbein Ezal says that's the concept of sarusa delasato. Shai deze yesh lanu azus dikdusha lamoid keneged kol hakamim aleinu limnaya esanu meyavadaseinu chas v'shalom. That's what gives us the strength to stand up against all opposition, against anyone who would oppose us from serving Hashem, whether it be spiritual forces, malachim, or friends that a person has. It's say to the person, hey, you weren't religious till now. What are you, you suddenly had a bad dream, you woke up, you're going to try to become religious now? No, you can't do that. After 20 years of being a religious, you can't start. Rabbein Ezal says the person has to have a certain drive within him, an initial azus dikdusha, with which to be able to burn out all of those manias, all of those first set of manias that he has to deal with. And we strengthen ourselves with tremendous azus against this opposition. Shezehu azus dikdusha. This is this term, azus of kedusha. Al yidei zeh, and by doing this, anu noisnim kaviyochel oiz v'koyach lamalo. We give strength kaviyochel to Hashem, bebechinas tenu oiz lalikin. This azus that we display kaviyochel goes up to Hashem and feeds Hashem in a sense. And this causes an explosion in heaven. This match ignites a big fire in heaven of azus dikdusha, v'nishba oleinu, and that's poured down to us. Bebechinas kel Yisrael hu noisein oiz v'satzum islam. As the pasuk says, that Hashem gives strength, gives azus to the people. Shashem Yisborach mashpia oleinu azus dikdusha v'noisein lanu oiz v'satzum oiz lamoid keneged ho azus disidrachra shel kol ha'zeponim shebedoyer. Hashem himself gives us strength to be able to stand up against all of these azei ponim in every single generation, which it's impossible to stand up against them unless a person has azus dikdusha. Because if a person does not have asis kedusha, Rabbi Nezal says, "Bevada yevatlu oisay hamoinim miterosay ve'avodosay." Certainly, all of the manias that are established to prevent the person from coming close to Hashem will certainly destroy this person. Because a person cannot have a chelik in the Torah unless he has asas ledusha. Ben Ezal says here, you should know it's a fact. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga that in every door there are azeponim. You should know if you're going to want to come close to kedusha, there's going to be opposition in the form of human beings, people who are going to oppose you. Whether it's an islabation, a parent, a friend, a mother, a sister, or outside sources, people that speak to a person that talk philosophy, people you're confronted with at work, that do throw all kinds of things at you to put you down, to make you not want to come close to Hashem. And Rabbi Nezal says that a person has to first start off with Azaz Litusha of his own, whereby by doing that he draws a hashpo of Azaz Litusha from Hashem, which gives him the strength to deal with all these minim, as is brought in the first Sif in Shulchan Aruch. If you look over there in the Mishnah Berurah, he goes into a whole speech where it says that the Azkan Omer, he says you should know that there are maligim, there are people who poke fun against religious people, and you have to know not to be ashamed, not to let any of that stuff get in your way. When it comes to religion, be religious, ignore all of that stuff. He warns, don't answer them chutzpedik, otherwise you're the same as them. In other words, their sin is that they're azeponim. If you're going to be azeponim, it's the same thing. So don't talk the way they talk. Don't answer them back the same way. But know within yourself that you have to have enough courage and enough roughness in you not to let these statements, these insults and everything bother you, and just to keep going. Rabbi Nezal says, "V'tzorech lefaleis drachav." A person has to measure his ways very, very carefully. Eich lehisnaheg im ha'azus. How to deal with this concept of azus. We're talking about dynamite here. We're talking about nitroglycerin here. Azus is a very, very dirty word. If we're saying to have it, it means with extreme caution. Levli liyos chas v'shalom azus ponim. A person has to be careful not to acquire this title of azus ponim, as the word is used in a bad sense. Ki hi mido ro me'oid kanal, because that's one of the worst midos that exists. Va'afal pikein, and still yihi eloi azus tikdusha. Person must have azus tikdusha. In other words, a person has to be careful with this item of azus, that it shouldn't turn into azus ponim, which is a term of sitra achra, but it should remain in this status of azus tikdusha. Umidas ho'anovo hu inyan acher legamri. Rabbi Nezal says, in other words, we started off by saying shafal nivze. Shiflus is a term that's applied to anova. No, Rabbi Nezal says the word anova is something very, very different from shafal nivze. Shafal nivze means a schlepper, a guy who's wishy-washy, whom whatever you throw it in, he'll start doing something, and some guy will make a crack at him, he'll go into programming, and some guy will say, "Why, you'll never do it," and then he'll switch to this. It's a person who's very wishy-washy, very weak-minded. In a sense, he can't stand up for what's right. That's shofal nivze. Anova is a different thing completely, Rabbi Nezal says. The ikar midas ha-anova, and the main purity, the main success within humbleness is kesheyia b'madreka, when a person achieves a level, sheyucha lichtoiv al atzmai, where he would be able to write about himself. K'may Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom, as Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom did, the words v'ho'ish Moshe onav ma'oi, that Moshe Rabbeinu was very humble, zehu madrega so'anova betachlis. That's the madrega, that's the highest level of anova. That which you would say is the biggest azisponim. Talk about azisponim. A guy who has the nerve to write, "I'm humble," that's like the biggest paradox, the biggest mechutz of conceit, to write, "I'm humble." You're uprooting the word humbleness at its origin. And Rabbi Nezal says, "Baloney, that's the peak of anova dikdusha, where you could write that, and it could be true about the person. At the time that he's writing it, he doesn't feel any geyus." As we find by Amaram in the Gemara, Shomer Av Yosef, Leitisni Anova Dikanoa. The Gemara says at the end of Saita, Mishemeis, this Tana, this Mida became bottle. Mishemeis, this Tana, Anova became bottle. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef stood up and said, Leitisni anova, don't list humbleness among the things that became botel, de'ika anova, because I'm still in the world, which means anova is still around. And the fact that it was written into the Gemara means it was true. The Torah is emes. The Torah doesn't lie. If the Torah wrote that this was a true fact, it means it was true. Although he said it, it was still true. And that's the peak of anova, to be able to talk about one's greatness and not feel the slightest tinge of gaius from it. Which means, Rabbeinu Zal is telling you that this concept of Azus is a very, very delicate item. Without it, Rabbeinu Zal says you can't enter into the Kiddusha whatsoever. And you off-center it, the slightest drop, Chas v'Shalom, you're finished. What's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is that a person himself can't make this distinction whatsoever. It's ridiculous. The only way that this thing could be measured properly is only by Hashem himself. Rav Moshe Zal says in the Gutei Halacha is that this is the Seid. When is the time when the Jews are entering into Kedusha, making a Haschal in Kedusha? Yom Kippur. The Yom Tov of Kippur is the time when we try to purify ourselves and make a Haschalah for the new year. What was the highlight of Yom Kippur? Where the Kohen Gadol took two Ezim, two goats. Tenu Oiz Lalekim. He took two goats, which looked exactly the same. They had to be identical. One was La'azazel, one was Kodesh Lashem. Who made the determination? Could the Kohen Gadol determine it? No, there had to be a Goyrol. Only Hashem himself, Kaviyochol, is capable of distinguishing between these two. To human beings, mm-hmm. They looked identical. The Gemara says they had to be the same height, they had to be the same, everything the same. Kaviyochol, Hashem himself had to make the distinction between which was Azus Dikdusha, which was the A's of Kedusha, which is Kodesh Lashem, upon which the whole Kapara of Klal Yisrael, the whole Mechilas Avayis was totally in that. Because you look at our situation when it came to coming close to Rebbe Zal, your whole Hiskarvus to the Tzadik is totally in this Azus Dikdusha. In other words, which is Yom Kippur. In other words, in a sense, when we came to Rebbe Zal, when a person becomes Makurov to a Tzadik MS, he's coming loaded with sins, he's coming to the tzaddik for a kapora, for the tzaddik to purify him, to clean him. Meaning, he's coming in the form of this, where he's, and what ingredient does he need most? What did the Yid need? What was the whole kapora for Bnei Israel totally in on Yom Kippur? Azus Dikdusha. But the warning that was given to the Yid on Yom Kippur was, no, it's not that simple. Don't just say Azus Dikdusha, because then you could show the Azus to your own Rebbe, and then you're finished. You should know that there are two Yizim. And one is Kodesh Lashem, and one is La'azazel. One is the exact opposite. It's the Avi, Avoy, Satuma. It's the opposite of Kabbalah Satayra. The whole purity of Bnei Israel is totally in Tayra. This is the opposite of Kabbalah Satayra. But Moses says, you see here clearly that a person has to say to Hashem, Hashem, I'm not capable of making this determination. The Tayra itself says that even the Kohen Gadol, as great as he was, this couldn't be, that this had to be by Hashem. It had to be by Guru. And therefore we ask Hashem to guide us, to guide us to know, to be able to advance ourselves, to get to the highest madrig of Azus Dikdusha, without which a person cannot climb, because you should know that in ascending in Kedusha, we had in previous Torahs, before you go up, you have to go down, you have to go through Bizyanos, you have to get smashed and stepped on, and unless you have the chutzpah to get back up on your horse, a person goes through a few days without having a spiritus, and then he's got to start again, and there's that sick feeling, you know. It's like you're coming to meet a girl. You were supposed to call up a girl, and 4 days went by and you didn't, and you got to call her up again, and you have to justify why you didn't call for 4 days or 4 weeks, and you don't have a good answer. You have zero answer, and that's embarrassing. You come out looking very dumb, and you have to have the Asas Dikdusha to say, Hashem, I'm sorry, it's me. You know what I am. I'm the dumbest thing in the world. I'm the biggest zero. So I'm saying you can't really get angry. If you were dealing with someone normal who did something like this, you get, HaKoyel fi hamavayesh v'hamizbayesh. You're dealing with me, you can't get insulted. If it's somebody with half a brain and he pulls something like this, it's one. You're dealing with a total moron by me. If I, one day I'm bad or whatever, and then I come back the next day, please don't get insulted. You know, bring me close, this kind of concept. And a person has to spend, if Rabbeinu Zal says that the whole Hiskarvus to Kedusha is totally in this, it means that a major portion of a person's tefillah has to be allocated to this, to beg Hashem to be zeichet to Azus Dikdusha, and to be saved from Azus Desidra Achra. Never, ever, chas v'shalom, to enter into that mida of Az Ponim L'Gehenim chas v'shalom, you know, which is the worst thing.
Listen, where does Azus Dikdusha Kedusha come from? Does it come from the heart?
Well, Rabbi Nizal says in a different era that the Iker Gevura of a Oiz means strength. Oiz is another word for strength. Rabbi Nizal says in a different chapter of the Quran that the main strength of a person is in his heart. The Iker Gevura is Gevura Sheba Lev.
Does that mean it draws from the Surah of Bina?
Definitely, because Bina is the Makar of Din.
So then,
in other words, strength originates from
Din. So then it means, Kedusha, that means it's Din, it's never Chesed.
100%.
You've got to toughen yourself. 100%.
And that's the whole concept, if you recall, we said about Rabbi Akiva. In other words, when we say that the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva being killed, and he said, Hashem, Zutar, Zuzchalas, and Hashem said, quiet or I'll wipe out the whole world. Kach ola b'machshava tchila. This was my first thought. This is what Hashem said. This is the wording in the Gemara. And the Mephoshim tried to drayahin, to give all kinds of explanations to this. There's zero. There's nothing that makes sense. But Moses HaMikudei explains, let's tell you what Rabbi Akiva was. When Hashem created the world originally, what form was supposed to be? What form was it supposed to be? Din. Bereshe Zibora Elikim Meshashmai Mesoris. The original form was Din. Ish Becheta Yumas, the Gemara says. The original way was, person commits a sin, he dies. Hashem saw that 2 minutes after the world was created, he just created one person, suddenly the world is gone. He had a legitimate excuse to wipe out the whole world before a child was born or anything. Hashem saw the world could not exist with Midas Adin, so he added chesed to it, b'yayim broi Hashem Elohim Eretz v'shamayim. This is what it says. So for normal people, there is chesed and din, and there's more chesed than din. But Rav Nosson Zal says that the tzaddik is one who loves Hashem so much, he knows that this was a bidyeved. This was a bidyeved situation. Hashem wanted it to be this way. He saw that it couldn't, kaviyachol, so he had to settle for this. The tzaddik doesn't want to settle. He wants to serve Hashem in the way that Hashem had originally intended, which was pure din. Which means, with fire, with hislavus, with gevura. And those who want to attach themselves to the tzaddik have to be prepared for coping with some of this gevura, with some of this ayis. Have to be prepared to go through meniyas, to go through bizyayinos, shpichas damim, blood, din, in order to be able to come close to him, in order to be able to stick to him.
Like the Machshavas Nefesh is the best way to approach it is about like Yaakov Avinu, Mr. Ferris.
100%. But we're talking about the great tzaddikim. They were Eila b'machshava tchila. They went back to the first thought of Hashem when He created the world.
The one we say tzaddik means what was chesed of Hashem. Maybe that's just dealing with others.
In dealing with others. Yesoid, the sphere of Yesoid is more towards them. Tiferes is more towards Chesed, Yisrael is more towards Din. In other words, they're centered, but Al Pi Kabbalah, Tiferes is more B'chin of Chesed, Yisrael is more Din.
Yeah, a few points on this.
Like,
yeah. The Aziz Panim, how does this come together with the Bechira? In other words, everybody has Bechira to choose the right and the wrong.
Right.
And people came into the world as Aziz Panim.
Right.
So is it like sort of.
That's something which I think that falls into the category of what Rav Nosson said, that this item we can't understand. How it's possible, in other words, in the sense that Hashem knew what these people were, in other words, it was destined to be such and such a way, and yet they had free choice.
Are these people that were the Amalarits, or the one that you said, that on Yom Kippur, you can that falls on a Shabbos, you can shech them with the knife, and they were halachically Jewish, or... Going because they didn't have the appearance,
where
they
didn't
have their feet
in Harsina.
Apikoyim, assuming. Apikoyim. There's a certain type of Amaritz. You said the two types of Amaritz is at one share. One that really loves the Talmud Chacham, he's just not learned.
Right.
And another that hates him so much more than a Glenn hates him.
Right. And the word for that is Apikoyim. The Gemara says Apikoyim is one who wasn't Mishamish Chacham. In other words, there's a term for it meaning Amaritz, meaning because that he's not learned. But it's called Apikoyim, where the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to shech him on and kippur with it, everything right.
Are these people considered as halakhically Jewish if their feet weren't set to be in Harsina?
Yes, definitely. Still considered Jews.
So they could just get a kick in the
air. 100%.
It's not considered to be Harsina.
Excuse me?
The only Shomit was Harsina.
Rabbi Zal mentioned once that when it says Shleyamdu Raglei Avos of his parents, it means his previous Gilgal. In other words, that it is possible all the neshamas were there except Azeponim. That's what it is. Except those who were Azeponim, they could not be there.
Or just on 600,000 then, and at least that's the share of all the neshamas.
There were 600,000 neshamas alive, 600,000 Jews at the time. Oh. but could be there were those who weren't saying. In other words, you find this term used in the Gemara, Shalem directly away from our
Sinai. Isn't it called that the Egyptians who went out with the Jewish people, the Arab rock, they're not considered part of the 600,000 Egyptians?
No, definitely not.
But also, isn't there like the concept of a person, a guy coming back for some reason, as a Gilgulan Jewish body or something?
Bilam, you have one or two exceptional cases where a guy was zeichet to be nizgaliel, because the Arizal says, because he said those words, usehi acharisi kamayhu, let my end be with them, the Arizal says that Bilam HaRosha was zeichet to be nizgaliel in a yid, a Russia, Naval, who was killed by David HaMelech, and in other words, and in that manner, he started achieving his tikkun.
Yeah, but the other time, these other times, can they perhaps even other Yugo and they're blamed, but that's what he meant.
Not my department.
Doesn't the learned from Hebrew say that Bilam was doesn't really have a Bilam about?
Right. And the Arizal says that this item requires clarification. That is, the Arizal says very clearly that although the Gemara lists him among those who are not in Abba, the fact is that because he was at that point as Bilam, he has no Chalak in Abba. Because he was zeichet to become Nizgalgel in Novel, the word Novel, the Arizal says, the Nun stands for Novel, the Bay stands for Bilam, and the Lamed stands for Lovon. These were all three one-person actuality, and because he said those words, you see, in the Arizal says to show you what the tefillah of Al-Kogoy is. The Gemara gives certain examples, because which king was it who took the three steps? Nebuchadnezzar took three, I'm thinking of a different one, who stood up.
Eglon,
because he stood up when somebody was mentioning Hashem's name, he was zeichet to certain items. Nebuchadnezzar took three steps towards Hashem, something like that. We see that when a goy does this type of thing, it's incredible. The Sefer Kabbalah bring that the tears that Esav HaRasha cried when he heard that Yaakov Avinu got the brachos, and it says, Vayitzak tzaoko gedoylo mora ad ma'id, something like that, that all the suffering that Bnei Israel go through now in every single generation, of this is what brings us in the Kodei Rachos, is because of that cry of Esav HaRasha. When a Rasha like this cries, Chas V'Shalom, could do damage, indescribable damage. So the reason says that by this case of Bilam, we find because he said those three words, he was zeichet. This goes so far to such an extent where such a Rosh HaGomor, who was machshil 24,000 Jews in Znus, and yet there's a ticket for him. And yet there's a ticket for him. He came down as a Rosh HaGomor, and passing away as Naval, you could imagine he had to go to Gehenna because he showed disrespect to David HaMelech, the Tzadik Emes, and everything. But the fact that he entered into a Jew meant that there was a ticket for him. Much more readily than for a guy.
Isn't Lashon used another also in Chilchot Lahava? The Mishnah. Rabbi Zal said some place in the Mishnah says certain people don't have Chilchot. Mm-hmm. The Arizal explained it
differently.
Nevoltah?
Nevoltah.
It says one of the Mishnah Sanhedrin, I think, mentions another among the after Chilchot Lahava.
Not that I know of.
Is it possible that Mr. Rabbi says that a human being cannot see the difference between Azus and Anova?
Right.
That means that someone looking somewhere else, he can't tell.
No. I'm not saying that. In other words, what he's stressing is that it's hard for a person himself to make the judgment. In other words, a person's faced with a situation, what should I do? My Rebbe threw me out. Should I go back in? Why? When? Should I wait a little while? All of these items were not that already with Hashem. I got thrown out by Hashem. How do I respond? Do I try banging real fast? There are times from Rabbeinu Zal brings, Rabbeinu Zal brings, Likutei Halacha has the concept of Chashmal, Itim Choshes. There are times when a person can't push it. There are times when you daven and you can't. What do? You have to wait. You have to wait, Adyav or Azam in a sense, until Kaviyocha, the anger of Hashem, subsides, and then you start again. And there is a concept of waiting sometimes, always not doing anything. How is a person expected to make this determination? How am I expected to know when I'm considered mechutzav, or when it's considered asus kedusha?
Or if you feel that if you're doing it from another, then you feel like humble. If you do it from asus, you feel.
That's what Rav Enazal says here. In other words, Rav Enazal says, the fact remains that these are two different birds. Don't think that they're very, that they're exactly the same, because in truth they're very different. But yet, on the surface, this is Azus, this is Azus. How do you distinguish between them? existence, which of us are responsible for that? This is something which a person has to ask Hashem to do. Oh, it's within us, by a human being, it's possible to make a mistake here because both are asses. You understand? It's very easy for a person, the sultan can play with a person's head, he'll think he's doing something which is astigmatism. Oops, he crossed the line this time. It was the other thing. Or he'll think that by doing this thing, it's as polina, it's the opposite. Rav Nosson Zalman, Yemei Varnat, writes that 99% of his problem in coming close to Rav Nosson was that terror feeling. Each time he came knocking on the door, he got a feeling that Rav Nosson was saying, what are you bugging me for? Times when they would come, Rabbi Nezal would say, what do you come for? You know, what do you have, what do you want? That kind of thing. And Rabbi Nezal would say it in a manner where it would seem to him like, you know, he shouldn't have been there. And he writes that the Mani Samaya, he went wild from this, he went crazy. And he said there were times when it took tremendous initiative where he knew that he had no choice, that he just got on a horse and ran. There were times that he made believe. He told Rabbi Nezal, he thought of an excuse to come. Oh, I'm going to tell him I came for this, and meanwhile, maybe I'll be Zecha, but he'll slip, he'll say a word, I'll have something. You see that even by one who was so learned, I'm saying before he met Rabbi Nezal, he was a bookie in Shas and Shulchan Aruch, these items, and yet this was a big problem. It was very hard to weigh when it's considered as a sin, you know, when it's break the door down and when not. Because at the time that the person is going through the test, that really you picture the way, you know, as I'm saying, anyone who was zechet to have a Rebbe, you could imagine what this feeling was. Rebbe says suddenly, you know, what do you want? Enough? Oh, okay, yes, no, bye, I'm finished. And you get a feeling like he doesn't want you, at least for this day, he doesn't want to talk to you. Okay. And you have to know to be able to wipe it out completely, and if you need something, to go after it as much as possible, but yet with another. Don't you dare act with the slightest disrespect in Chas v'Shalom whatsoever. And yet at times, he'll say, I don't have time, and he means it. He means that for that day, to you it looks like your thing is the most important thing in the world. You don't realize that he's doing a different thing completely. Rabbi Nezal brings the interpretation to what the Zerukhdu says, Zin in the Shema, Zin in the Leishama. A person davens a tefillah, and sometimes they accept it in heaven, sometimes they don't. What does it mean they don't accept it? It goes lost. Chas v'Shalom. In heaven, sometimes they see a tefillah that's so good, they know that there are certain items in heaven that they need an unbelievable amount of nuclear energy to get this thing done. And it's very rare that a tefillah comes up that's powerful enough. Suddenly a person's putting on eis tzara, he needs a refuah for something, and he sends up a tefillah that's phenomenal. And Hashem sees that tefillah, and Hashem applies it to something else completely, a much higher purpose, such as being the nefoshes of Geirin. Rabbi Nezal brings one item, certain items that require a tremendous hisayrus. And at times a tefillah gets, its course gets altered to be applied elsewhere. So here again, you see that how does a person know? How do you know? How do you know that maybe you're not davening enough? Maybe you should have davened. In other words, the answer is, this is the whole battle between Azaz Dehusha and Azpanamu, which is very hard. Person has to ask Hashem, show me when I'm being Azaz Dehusha or when I'm being a rat. You see, the Gemara says there were Tanoim who davened in a way where they became crippled, Chas v'Shalom. They said it a drop too sharp to Hashem.
So there's an need of like stop this even as far as tefillah goes.
100%.
It's not necessary to daven more on today for a certain thing.
100%.
To feel
happy. As Rabbi Nezal says.